Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you have now entered the Matt Mania Arena. Your reigning tag team champions of the evening, Teek Hall, the villain, G1 to the motherfucking rescue.
Let's go in.
What up?
Blech. Man, what a beautiful night, man. I'm out here chilling in good company. Finna smoke good, finna eat good. Everything's good, man. How about you, sir?
I don't know, man. Everything is good on my end. You said you in good company. You better make sure you don't get hit with that heel turn. She might see you eating that good food and hit you with a steel chair.
Oh, man. Yeah, nothing like that, man. No, we good, man. We out here posted up. Matt Maniacs, what's going on? As I always like to say, it is the three most important letters in sports, entertainment, digital media on the Southwest. MMP, motherfucker.
I also don't know what episode this is. You know what episode this is? You probably should have thought about that ahead of time.
180 blank. I don't want to be wrong, but I know it's in the middle 180s.
we in the 180s, baby.
Yeah. 180 dot dot dot.
Yes, sir. We got Matt Maniacs all over the world. Rock Knowledge tonight is with family. Neo X is probably Neo do mean one. Well, Neo does mean one, so maybe I was just getting it confused like that. But he's probably somewhere petting his cat. And
I don't know how that sounds.
And who knows what Megaran is doing tonight. Probably something important, as always.
Oh, so, you know, shout out to Big Bro. You know, he doing what he do, as always, man.
So we are here today, definitely celebrating 30 years of Jericho.
30 Chris, years of Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho, the GOAT.
The walls down.
The greatest of all time.
Yeah, literally, man. He solidified himself as one of the GOATs. He's reinvented himself a million damn times. My man is something else. He's really, really, really special.
And we will definitely get into our favorite Chris Jericho moments and things like that later on in this show. But as always, we're going to bring you the putovers first. Make sure that you are following us everywhere that we are. What is it? Instagram is Matt Mania Pod.
Matt Mania POD.
Twitter is Matt Mania Podcast. Make That's sure right. that you buy some merch from where they get that merch from. ProWrestlingTees.com.
Yes, sir.
The Matt Mania store. We got tees. We got music. We got CDs. Make sure that you pick all that up and support us. Without you, there is no us. We do this for y'all because otherwise we would just be talking wrestling in the group chat. So we bring this here so that y'all can hear the thoughts, the innermost conversations of the Matt Mania podcast. G1, you said that you knew what you were going to start off with your putovers, so let's go ahead and get into that.
All right, I do, but I'm gonna have you start off only because I'm about to walk into a wonderful, happy place called Soul Flower Dispensary, and I can't bring my phone in here. So we're going to go ahead and kick the put over with you. And then
but you was trying to rush me to get started, and we could have waited until after you did. You kept on saying, come on, let's go. And now you got to put me on pause so that you can go into the dispensary.
Man, let them know what your put over is, and then I'm going to come in and chime in. Get it correct.
My putover is the new West Side Gun Project, his Shady debut release. It is called Who Made the Sunshine? Yes, make sure that you are listening to that or pick that up. It's got features on it from all of the Griselda cast. That would be Armani Caesar, Conway, Benny the Butcher. We got El Camino on there. We got Black Thought on there. We got Slick Rick the Ruler on there. We got...
Yes, sir.
Busta Rhymes on there.
Shout out to Armani C's, man. She can spit. Armani C's got bars, bro. Armani C's, shout out to her.
We got Stove Guy Cooks on there. We got Smoke Diz on there. We got Flea Lord on there. All of those greats. We got production on there from Derringer and Beat Butcher. We got Alchemist on there. We got Just Blaze on there. And, you know, it's a great debut. People will say it's not a debut because they've been dropping nonstop music, but it's his first major label debut, his Shady Records debut, and the artwork was also done by his daughter, Westside Pootie. So definitely make sure that you go check that out and support it. That's, he's a friend of mine, a fellow wrestling head. Oh my God, G1, I hear all of the background, all of it. This guy. I hear everybody in the background right now. He couldn't even put his phone on mute.
Yeah, it's a little different. I'm gonna mute my mic for a sec. I'm sorry.
Thank you. While he's interrupting my put over. But anyways, Who Made the Sunshine? West Side Gun. Griselda. Shady Records. Make sure you go cop that. Make sure you go stream that. He said that he's only dropping one more project this year, and then he's retiring. Hopefully, it's going to be his project that he's doing with Madlib. But, yeah, great project. Standout cuts on it for me would be The Butcher and the Blade. That's track number 2. Obviously, West Side Gun is a huge wrestling fan. The Butcher and the Blade are also from upstate New York, Buffalo, where West Side Gun is from, so the AEW wrestling connection with West Side Gun and the wrestling in his bars, you know how that goes. Oh yeah, he's got Bodie James on the project, he's got Jadakiss on the project, and you know, he's got some standout lines on there. He said, the shooter, a spray you in the face like the Great Muta. He said, you know, drop kick the brick and hit it with the pedigree. You know, a lot of wrestling bars, obviously, you know, and it's that drug talk, that grimy Griselda gun talk, drug talk that you came to love. All of the doot doot doots and boom boom booms, all of the is Griselda, all of that shit is all over it. So you know how they do, even with their major label debuts, they still keep it as gutter as they've kept it the whole time. And he's still not ready to do his put over, but I'm done talking about mine. So I don't know what we're going to talk about now, because I'm not going to spend 15 to 20 minutes talking about West Side Gun's album. Just make sure that you go listen to that. Go cop that shit. It do got my homie Fly God on there, like I said, and that nigga be spitting. That nigga said his shooter killed somebody over a emoji and ran him up the stairs like Stallone. Make sure you go listen to that shit. Dizz is on there. He said that he came from about the pound, so you know, smelling like a pound, obviously.
Hey, I feel you. That's
where funny. Where you at now, G? You still in there? Or you in a bathroom or something?
I dipped to the bathroom real quick.
I can't hear you. You went mute. He went mute. I don't know what happened. We kind of giving y'all this episode off the cuff because he's live in the streets right now. Y'all remember Hits from the Street? Y'all that old
BT would do this.
Yeah, I wonder how old our audience is, because that's G1 right now. He G1 in the street.
G1 in the street.
Right now he's picking up at a dispensary, so you know he's out there in the real world.
Yes, sir. Shout out to the good folks at Soul Flower in Tempe, SOL Flower, right off McClintock on the other side of the bridge from where Tempe Marketplace is. So anybody in Tempe, make sure you get your bud at Soul Flower. They have a great new patient deal. They have a great two-visit new patient deal. So fuck with them if you're in the Arizona area, man. Anyway, yeah, man, that Griselda shit is popping. I got to dive more into the new album. My put-over is going to be... I want to shout out the good folks at Akai Professional, actually. Now, you know, y'all already know what I do on the music side and whatnot. Since I've had this MPC Live version 2, it's been a really big help. Like, we talking, it's just something that's cool, efficient. It runs on charged battery power, which is really nice. Built-in speaker for the first time ever on an MPC, which is really nice. So, you know, as a person, I may just be, you know, over my friend's house, just rocking some shit. You know, I ain't got all the speakers and the laptop and all that shit. I just got my MPC Live and a hard drive.
low key, that's all I've been needing. So it's been kind of fun, you know, just kind of getting back to basics. You know, I still rock on Ableton Live and all that, but much love to the good people at Akai Professional, because that MPC Live too has really kind of got me back to basics and kind of turned my life around a little bit. So much love to the good people at Akai Professional. Please follow them on all major social media platforms at Akai Pro. That's AKAI Pro. And AkaiProfessional.com. No, Akai-Pro.com. I'm so sorry. But yeah, man, MPC Live too, man. It's been great. Got some stuff coming. So yeah, man.
Yes, sir. He's on the cook up. So what's going on with your purchase, man? You said you had a call in order. They ain't got your shit ready yet?
Oh, no. I dipped to the bath. The fucking pickup line's long as hell.
God damn it.
But more so slow. More so. It's, I ain't going to say it's long, but it's slow as hell. And we don't go black for a minute. See?
So G1 is picking up right now. So he had to dip from the pod because he's not allowed to have his phone out in the dispensary. So you are rocking with T Call the Villain. As I said, this is the 30 Years of Jericho episode. And we are going to talk about some of our favorite Chris Jericho moments. And, you know, one of those being everything that he's been doing since he left WWE. I mean, damn, that man's been on the tear. He went to New Japan, won shit over there. He went to AEW, became the first champ over there. I don't really want to get into too much of it without G1 because obviously I want him to chime in on these things. So in the meantime, let me let y'all know what T. Call is up to. So I'm currently working on some new music. I don't think I'm going to be putting out any new music, any more new music this year. I'm getting myself lined up for this upcoming year. I did drop a single, though. It is called Guns and War, produced by Paco Knot, and is definitely the music that needs to be heard right now. It's full of Black power. It's full of what's going on in the streets right now, and you can find that on my Bandcamp right now. It's exclusively on Bandcamp. So if you go to Bandcamp and search T Call, or if you search T Call Bandcamp on Google, you'll find it. I'm the only T Call out here rapping. So anything that you find with T Call on it, it's me. It'll soon be available on streaming sites everywhere, but as of right now, it is a Bandcamp exclusive. So make sure that y'all go cop that. That'll be off a project that me and Paco Knot are doing called The Behemoth. Me and him together is The Behemoth. That'll be coming out next year. I got several projects dropping next year. I got a project with Rob De Niro dropping next year. I got a project with Trevor Lang dropping next year. I got a project with some crazy, crazy production on it and features that's going to be dropping towards the end of next year that I'm working on. So as I said, I'm just over here right now writing. The pen is sharp. The mind is sharp. I haven't been smoking weed in a couple weeks. It's been like 3 weeks over here getting my mind and my body together, fortified, strong for the people, for my family, for my kids. Can't be, you know, I got a 1-year-old right now. I can't be having her running around and I can't chase her around. So, you know, definitely gotta make sure that I, you know, been getting in the gym, you know, trying to make sure that I'm able to fucking chase her down. Otherwise, I'm gonna have to put her ass on a leash. So, oh, somebody's laughing. I guess G1 is back. What up, G1?
Oh, yes,
I was just telling the people about, you know, what I got lined up musically coming next year.
I heard all of it. Yes, sir.
Oh, he was listening. He just wasn't here, so he probably heard me talking shit about him then. But anyways, back to the wrestling at hand. Before we get into gushing over Chris Jericho, we can talk a little bit about everyday things that's going on. Me or G1 did not watch NXT TakeOver. Don't hate us for it. But Finn Balor did retain the championship. I'm going to just talk about that real quick because he got his jaw broken in that match. And Finn Balor just has horrible luck when it comes to championship matches. I'm hoping because it's just a jaw injury that NXT is not going to strip him of that title. I always feel like stripping of the title just takes away prestige and everything from that title.
Yeah, I totally agree. It gotta be some other type of thing that they can do in case somebody were to get injured. But it's a jaw injury, so I feel like he'll be able to recover from that. And even though I didn't see all of the match, I did see bits and pieces of it. So I want to say hats off to one of my favorite independent wrestlers of all time, my boy Kyle O'Reilly of the Undisputed Era, because
– Well, tell Kyle O'Reilly to stop giving out them stiff-ass shots. He gave him
– Man, I'm trying to tell you, based on what I seen, that was a hell of a match. And you have to remember Kyle O'Reilly is a whole trained kickboxer.
Right, and he gave Finn Balor – he gave him a flying knee in the corner to the face. I'm sure that's what broke his jaw.
You know what? I seen that spot. So that's what fucked him up, huh?
That's what I would think it was, you know. But, you know, I feel like that they can just play off of that. I mean, if everybody know that Finn is hurt, then don't strip him from the title. It's just a jaw injury. Either take him off a few episodes, or he can still show up with the title, but just, you know, not get into any, you know, scuffles or anything because he's injured, you know. But either way, you know, they kept Drew off TV for a minute when he supposedly got hurt, and he didn't have to get stripped from the title. So, you know, I feel like, you know, after what happened with Finn with the Universal title, seeing him get stripped of another title would just be too much for him.
Trash. Yeah, it'll be bad. Here's a hot take, though. With Kyle O'Reilly's performance, and I've mentioned this before, on our show back when we were all recording in the studio. I feel like if the Undisputed Era right now parted ways, we already know really that whole squad can be breakout stars. I would say not so much Bobby Fish, and not necessarily because he's not capable of it. I just don't know if he has a strong enough rep on the solo side, but Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, and Adam Cole are perfectly fine. So,
well, Roderick Strong was already killing it on the solo tip.
Roderick Strong was already what?
Killing it on the solo tip before he joined Undisputed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah. With, let's say Undisputed Era breaks up right now, considering against Finn Balor, do you feel like he will definitely shine as a solo star? Maybe if they left him in NXT, gave him a new uniform, and let him get off and do his thing.
I'm not sure because I never seen him as a solo wrestler, because wasn't he a tag team with Fish?
Red Dragon, yeah, he's been solo a couple of times before him and Fish created Red Dragon, and he's definitely went solo. But Red Dragon is just the thing that we know them, you know, more famously from, but. But nah, man, that boy Kyle O'Reilly. And then, you know, since
shit, the only thing I know Fish from is being injured. That nigga stay injured.
He does, low key.
He stay on a pair of crutches.
Oh man, who you telling? That'd be his special weapon in the ring and shit. But but man, you know, gotta love. Hats off to those guys. I see NXT has a new venue. Right now.
Yeah, sir.
That's nice space.
I forget what it's called. It's like the CWC or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Capital World Center or something.
Yeah, it's a nice setup. It was a really nice setup. Nice big ass stage, everything. I did see the picture of the stage. I was like, yo, this is lit. It's very lit. Very, very, very dope.
Yeah, still has the NXT feel to it, still. Still, you know, just even though they moved, it still has the NXT feel to it that they do with their shows, the darker atmosphere, the lights where it's dark and just lit up on the ring and stuff like that. I like that when I go to NXT shows. It makes the show feel different than everything else.
Yeah, yeah, it does. We like the couple of NXT shows that we've been to have been just really stellar, phenomenal. I really like the dark shows because we like use more fan interaction with the darker shows, so that part of it is really cool.
As we proceed, Old school, new school, need to know this. I flow like Left Alley Slow. Yeah.
Come on, Biggie. All day.
Oh no, I was doing the Jay-Z version.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
From the professional. Burn slow like blunts of hydro. Jigga man, BK shit. And y'all know.
As big as a Jay-Z fan as I am, you know, I totally forgot about that. I was just talking about, remember the promotional single for Blueprint 3, the Jock and Jay-Z joint?
Uh-huh.
From 07? I love that record. Fool's House, hold no doubt about the only rapper still getting money in the drought.
Yeah, but I love that Jay-Z verse to that track you're listening to right now off the professional, DJ Clue joint.
I remember that he did it. I haven't heard it in a while, so now I feel like I got to go back and listen to it. That's definitely
Dude, let me tell you what I just seen that I was mad about, because so on some petty shit, because everybody know what happened at the debate, and Pence had the fly land on his head, right? Yes. So I was trying to post the picture on Instagram with some music to it, and I was trying to post Styles P, because Styles P said, "You the shit, I'm the Lord of the Flies," in a song.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't find the song, and I'm like, why can't I find the song? Do you know that song is off Rough Riders Volume 3, and Rough Riders Volume 3 is not on Spotify?
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
It's the only one. No, it's the only one. Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume 4 is on there, but not Volume 3.
There's no Volume 3? That's weird. I didn't even know they did a Volume 4. I knew they did 1 and 2 and 3. I didn't know they did a 4.
Yeah, because it was off the... And I was like, come on now, I know I'm not crazy. So I had looked the song up on YouTube, and that's how I realized what it was on. It's off that Styles P song. Shoot him in the head, shoot him in the face of the chest, then shoot him in the waist of the neck, then shoot him in the gut of the mouth, then shoot him in his back, and don't stop till his blood running out. That nigga's a violent-ass nigga.
He really is. Yeah, it should be some more on my bed. But yeah, you know what? Speaking of Styles P, I gotta give a quick shout out, and I never did this, and I've been meaning to do this for a long time, because prior to last week, it's been a minute since I've recorded with y'all. But I want to give a shout out to Juices for Life, which is his juice bar.
Yes, sir.
Out in the New York area, I went to the Brooklyn location. And it was just nice to see young black folks working in an environment where they're serving something that's actually good for you and not like a bunch of greasy bullshit or nothing like that. That motherfucker was packed. I went to the newer location in Brooklyn.
What'd you get?
You know what? I got a juice and I got a smoothie. I usually try to round it out with both. The smoothie is what curbs my appetite. The juice,
right, but what did you get, though?
Oh, what the... Man, I don't know. They menu, by the way, is fucking huge. There's like a million names for all this. I don't know what the hell.
Did your smoothie have peanut butter in it?
They got some stuff with peanut butter in it. Yeah, I think that was one of... I think that was the cream smoothie I had peanut butter in it. But yeah, that menu is literally like 3 whole things long, and it's like small writing and hella options.
Yeah, man.
They mix and match every possible combination of healthy juice in that place.
I don't know why, but I can hear me talking through your phone.
it's weird. I know. I ain't got no headset or nothing like that, so I'm winging it on the speaker. But
shout out Styles P. Like you said, man, that dude went from a gangster to a gentleman to a juice bar owner, and he's still rapping with the best of them. Lox just dropped a new album like a couple months ago, and Styles P has always been my personal favorite out the Lox. I actually got to meet Styles P before because I opened up for him out here in Arizona before. And funny story, because I probably never told you, but I tried to smoke with Styles P. I had some blunts already rolled up because, you know, coming to the show, I already wanted to have my stuff rolled up. And I asked him if he wanted to smoke, and he told me nah, because he said, no offense, but, you know, I'm too old and I've been around a long time and I don't smoke nothing that I don't see be rolled up, because it can be anything in those. So, you know. Gotta respect that. So I got turned down on smoking with Styles P, but you know, I was rocking with him at the show, and we chilled out and had a good time. And
yeah, and it, like, at least you got turned down for a good reason. It wasn't just no fucking, yeah, fuck you, nigga. A little minuscule. Like, it wasn't just nothing like that. It was more so just like,
you know, fuck just all these niggas. If you ask me who, I answer back anybody you can think of. I'm SP, bitch. I'm the boss of the boss. So talk arrogant to me and God link up. Yo, you know what I just saw that was funny? Also, that made me think of Styles P. Why is AJ Styles Instagram AJ Styles P? And then I looked at that and I was like, oh, AJ that nigga Styles P1. Too.
It's technically AJ Styles P1 for phenomenal one.
Right. Yeah. But it's got Styles P in there.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, but let's see. Let's get into our 30 years of Jericho that they celebrated on AEW.
Well, first off, Jericho Jericho has been in the game for how long? He's been wrestling since 16, I believe. Jericho wrestled in Mexico before he came over to WCW. He's wrestled in ECW. He's wrestled in WWE, New Japan, all the way to AEW. This man has been all around the world.
All around the world.
He's wrestled in the middle of the ocean on the Jericho cruise. Like, just... And these are reasons why we call him the GOAT. But yeah, if you want to start off, because that's what I was telling them while you were in the dispensary. I said, we can start off with everything he's done since he's left WWE, because that'll be the most recent stuff. So
absolutely, man. So just to kind of get that vibe. Right after he left WWE, he went on to do another short stint in New Japan with some quality opponents. Of course, the first of those opponents being Kenny Omega, which we knew that was going to happen because him and Omega, from what I understand, are from the same area.
Yes,
in Canada, Winnipeg. Manitoba. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that part is really dope. So that was only a matter of time before that happened. Quality match. We all know how Kenny get down. Kenny's a friend of the podcast. Shout out to Kenny Omega. You know, and then we went from that to him and Tanahashi, right? Was that Tanahashi that he fought the second time?
Who's the dude who he stole his look? Because didn't somebody else have the, like, clown makeup eyes that Jericho was doing when he came?
Damn. Oh, it might have been – that might have been Naito. That might have been Naito.
Okay, yeah, I think
Tetsuya Naito.
Yeah, he fought him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, Jericho went over there and he won the gold, you know?
Man, you know, IWGP Intercontinental Championship.
And that was when Jericho started his whole new. That's when he was doing the Clockwork Orange gimmick. Talking about with the eye makeup and stuff. So he was doing that with the leather jacket with the spikes on it. That's when he started using the Judas track for his music.
I was just about to say that was also the very first time that he used his own award-winning song Judas by his band Fozzy as his entrance theme. Very iconic moment. You know, really dope. And then if you fast forward to All Elite Wrestling, my very first time seeing Jericho wrestle in person, period, was AEW Double or Nothing. And that legendary entrance that he did where he made reference to all of his various personalities over the years. And then, you know, when he came out with the spike jacket, listen, that shit... Yo, man, that was epic.
You're saying that's your first time seeing Jericho. But where did you say that was at? Double or Nothing?
Double or Nothing in Vegas at the MGM Grand.
Before AEW started, what was the pay-per-view that they had in Chicago?
That was All In. That was the predecessor to AEW. That was their whole, like, hey, we trying something out. This is a pilot program.
So you weren't there with us. It was me, Ran, Neo, and we were out there with a lot of the guys out there or whatever. But no, I wanted to bring that up because Jericho appeared on that show dressed up like Pentagon. I remember that. That's what I was gonna say. The lights went out and then he was in the ring in a Pentagon outfit. And then he took the mask off and it was Jericho. So that was Jericho's first appearance there outside of WWE before AEW got started. But
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right, man. But then AEW got started and just all hell broke loose. Like, again, people can say what they want about All Elite Wrestling. A little bit over a year in, and they have maintained a really cool product. Like most things in wrestling, it's imperfect. There are some things, you know, that they're still ironing out. But for the most part, they put on really good shows. And Jericho, as one of the many veterans in ring, you know, people like him and people like Dustin Rhodes, The Natural, you know, just really, you know, really making the young guys look good and giving them some game. And you know, because they're not scripting promos over there, Jericho is like amazing on the fly. And right. so it really worked out well.
So Jericho became the first AEW champion.
Yes, he did.
And Jericho has also created the Inner Circle.
Yes, sir.
Which is a major part of what they got going on over AEW. Sammy
Guevara, Jake Hager, of course, Santana and Ortiz, who you once called Santana Tito and Ortiz.
Oh, Tito Ortiz.
he was like Tito and Ortiz. That's funny because that's the very last show. That was the first show that me and you just did together by ourselves in studio. He was like Tito and Ortiz. That's one person.
Hey, it sounded right, but it sounded but so now that we've talked about Jericho and all he's done since leaving WWE, if you remember, his last thing in WWE was
you just made the list.
But the thing that he did with KO, remember, it was the
Jericho and KO show. Yes, they did their thing. That show was cool.
But didn't he get what I'm trying to remember what it was called, Friendiversary or something like that? The thing that he did where KO turned on him.
Oh, right. That was solid, and that was really cool. I felt like he really put over KO in a major way with that, you know, as a heel, obviously. But he did his damn thing. That shit was cool, man.
Right. Him seeing his name on the list, him asking why is his name on the list.
Exactly. Very dope, very solid work, man, by Jericho.
But you know, I'm also a huge fan of Jericho's run in WCW, and you know, obviously that's young Jericho. He had the long hair. He was more like he was a young rock star at that time. You know, that's when he was doing the Lion Tamer instead of the Walls of Jericho, and you know, just. Great, he was a great cruiserweight at that time. You know, WCW kind of put cruiserweights on the map.
The land of the cruiserweights,
because for those who weren't watching any, you know, Mexican wrestling or luchadors and stuff at the time, WCW was full of them. And, you know, and a lot of these other guys, you know, including Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, obviously Chris Benoit, all of those dudes who came over as the Radicals and stuff like that, they weren't Mexicans, but they were still the size and they were in that weight class, the luchador, weight class.
Absolutely. And all the guys that came, over as the Radicals, they were all they're all like lightweight but technical wrestlers. Like I've always said, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is the Man of a Thousand Holes, Dean Malenko. And
Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero used to have some great matches in WCW. It's funny because one of my favorite luchadors, but this man was not a cruiserweight, was La Parca. I don't know how that guy was a heavyweight luchador.
No explanation needed there. You just knew that he could get it done, and that shit was cool, man. No, I fucked with La Parca.
So I recently read a story that said that the reason that Jericho changed his name of his move from the Lion Tamer to the Walls of Jericho was that when he came to WWF at the time, that I want to say, what's his name? Who was part of the Lion's Den? I was about to say Dan Severn, but that's not who it was. Yeah. Who was it?
Lion's Den.
Who was the other Ken Shamrock?
So, I forgot about that.
So Ken Shamrock was associated with the Lion's Den at that time, and Vince McMahon said that he didn't want someone else having a name with the word lion in it because he already had Ken Shamrock right. doing that with the Lion's Den stuff. So that's when he changed the name of the move to the Walls of Jericho, which yeah. is why the music Break the Walls Down and all of that stuff came from the name of the move being the Walls of Jericho.
Yeah, Y2J. Little known fact about Chris Jericho, for those of you that may not get a for those of you who may not seen a lot of beginnings in wrestling. So Jericho's name on the Mexican circuit was Corazon de Leon, which translates into his WCW name, which was the Lionheart. Mm-hmm. So yep. So that was a
big so that's thing. Where all the lion stuff came from, the lion salt and the yep. lion tamer and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So then he had to change it to the Walls of Jericho when he came to WWF. But yeah. also what people don't know is that, so first he just changed the name, but it was still the Lion Tamer. But I don't know mm-hmm. if somebody got hurt or because the move was just too vicious, but he changed it to being more of a, he changed it to being more of a Boston Crab
more of a instead of what of he
was,
Crab.
Instead of what he was doing when he put his neck and yo, I mean his knee and yo,
knee in the neck, yeah,
right, sure. and then bend you. So,
and then, did you notice towards the end of his WWE run, he started getting away with doing the traditional lion tamer. He put that real motherfucker on somebody, and I was like, whoa.
Oh yeah, he would do it sometimes or whatever, but yeah, mm-hmm. it wasn't. And obviously, you know, it's a thing where I don't know if they just didn't want him doing the move no more, if people didn't want to take the move, because obviously, if people don't want to take the move, then you can't do it. But but yeah, the Walls of Jericho and the Lion Tamer was a crazy move. The whole Y2J theme with, you know, since the year 2000 was coming up and everybody was scared of Y2K mm-hmm. and everything. So Y2J, I mean, it was
Y2J problem is what they teased before he came out. Yep.
It was just perfect at that time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, man, what else you got thoughts wise about Jericho?
I mean, listen, like some of my earliest memories, keep in mind that Jericho made his debut in my hometown. So on that episode of Monday Night Raw in 1999. So that was kind of iconic. And I remember watching that episode and I remember just being invested in his character because I remember seeing him before from WCW. I'm like, oh, dude, over here now. And yeah, man, he just came over there. And Jericho's just one of them people that really knows how to put himself over. Like, he just really has that down to a science that just a lot of wrestlers just really don't have. And then he's always innovative. He's always finding new ways. Like, he was, like, he had, like, outside of, like, the Lion Tamer / Walls of Jericho, he had, like, a million other signature moves. We talk about the Lion Saw. We talk about the Breakdown, which is the reverse neck breaker.
The cold breaker,
which is a, you know, modified lung blower. But yeah, super dope, man.
The Judas Effect.
Wait, which move, bro?
The Judas Effect.
Oh gosh. The Judas Effect is still one of those things. It grew on me because I couldn't. When I first seen it, you know, which was live, and when he was talking about using this random ass elbow for a move, I'm like, I don't really know how I feel about that yet.
Yeah, it all depends on how he hits it, how the person comes into contact with it. Sometimes it looks like, oh, that wasn't really nothing, and sometimes he hits it where it's like, oh shit, you know. So. I can definitely understand you having a mixed feelings about the Judas Effect elbow.
Yeah, but
nobody wants to get hit in their face with an elbow.
That's true, and that's what you have to think about. You have to think about the reality element, and that's when I got invested in the move, because then I'm like, well, at the end of the day, we may sit up here and look at it like, oh, it's just a really basic finisher. But like you said, nobody wants to get hit in their mouth with an elbow. So that's
right. And I mean, in AEW, he has Jake Hager on his team, who is a MMA fighter. So, yes, you know. Sir. And then I remember when he hit it on somebody who was doing a suicide dive out the ropes, and then he caught him with the Judas elbow.
Now that was one of the greatest versions of that move I've seen. Like the Judas Effect out of nowhere situation. Mm-hmm. That man backed into that elbow when he was coming through that was the coolest. That's so stuff like that, when you catch motherfuckers off guard like that,
That's the shit that really make a move. That's what made the RKO famous. RKO ain't nothing but a basic jumping diamond cutter, but his whole gimmick is just like DDP being able to catch it out of nowhere, being able to catch it in really awkward situations.
Right, so, and also Jericho is getting older in age, so he wanted to be able to do something that was going to be easier for him to do, and like you said, that he can catch people with it out of nowhere. Yeah. So and still be devastating, you know, to deliver it. So
because he's not finna be in that much no more. The cold breaker he's kind of using more so as a regular move these days.
He's getting kind of chunky in the midsection, so I don't know how much lion talks he's gonna be doing.
Oh man, I don't think he needs anything with the word salt in it at this point.
his fucking blood cells are being assaulted.
Man, but nah, you know, but nah, like I say, man, Jericho is just one of those once in a lifetime superstar, rock star. Like, he really broke the glass ceiling. He's one of few people that literally is living the dream. He is a full-blown touring musician and at the same time a professional wrestler who'll be on TV every week. Like, I don't know how. I mean, I know how you can balance out that schedule, but it's just the
Well, ain't nobody touring right now, so.
Well, yeah, nobody's touring right now, obviously. But I'm just saying, like, during that time, like, man, you have to understand this guy's work ethic, concerts.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When he showed up at All In the Pentagon outfit, nobody thought that he was going to be there because he actually was just at a Fozzy show.
Yeah, and that's what I'm. That's
and
what
I'm he saying. Flew in. He flew in from the show that he just did somewhere else, and you know, made an appearance at the All In. So
that's dedication. That's dope shit. Yes, like if you could do that, that's what that shit is all about, man. I've had a million Chris Jericho action figures. And every time Jericho get like an action figure with an updated outfit or some shit, that's why I'm surprised. Recently in his old age, he's been kind of keeping the same type of outfit. Because remember, my man had a different set of tights on every episode of Raw. And that was the thing that used to always intrigue me about Chris Jericho. Because he was one of the few people that literally changed his outfit every single show. Barely wore the same outfit twice.
Well, that's like Rey Mysterio, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Rey Mysterio and then like... Rey Mysterio and Lucha Underground and everything else. Like, I was at Lucha Underground. I saw Rey Mysterio live there. He came out. He gave somebody, like, he wore a mask over a mask when he came out. And he gave a kid in the crowd the mask that he had on over his mask.
Yes, sir.
Because he had like a big crazy mask with horns on it and stuff. And then he took that off, and then it was his regular mask. But, exactly. Yeah, he's always had crazy tights. But, you know, I think that's just, like I said, you know, Chris Jericho coming from Mexico, doing his pilgrimage over there, and you know, just having so much ties and respect to Mexican culture and the luchadors and all of that stuff, that I think that's something that they do, because when you see all of these guys like Roosh and people like that, like they just they're swagged out when it comes to like wrestling gear and entrances and stuff like that. It's a big part of what they do.
Man, I love watching the luchadors. You know, you used to always make the joke, because I don't know if I'm pronouncing it wrong, the actual AAA, as they say. Uh-huh. Used to always make that joke on the podcast. But, man, I'll be watching AAA. I watch AAA. I watch the other stuff, too. Like, and, you know, can't understand what the damn commentators are saying, but the action is always fly.
Right.
Yeah, so man, you know, again, and then what was dope is they had the some of Jericho's close friends in the wrestling business do like dedication videos, which was really solid. Good to see Lance Storm. We know Lance Storm has a wrestling school, and he's been training like some goats over there. You know,
you mean Lance Storm from Calgary, Alberta, yes. Canada?
Calgary, Alberta, Canada. If I could be serious for a moment, that Lance Storm. And he said that in the dedication video, too. Oh, that was funny. So I used to love
Lance Storm and Just Incredible as a tag team.
Ooh, the Impact Players and ECW?
Mm-hmm.
What? Man, listen. I told you, my favorite tag team next to Chris Chetty and Nova. When they collided, that shit was epic, man. Love that. You know, I always talk about Chris Chetty because his finishing move was the Amityville Horror.
Right.
Yes, it, yeah. So,
on AEW, they were doing, like you said, the video shout-outs to Chris Jericho. But did you see when AEW went off and the credits that
Chris Jericho
was everything?
By Chris Jericho, story done by Chris Jericho. That shit was funny as hell. Bully Ray took a little bit of the bubbly to the face. That was cool. And then spit it out on some Triple H type shit.
Yeah, those guys just, man, they have a good time over there at AEW.
Vince McMahon
would have never did nothing like that.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I think motherfuckers like coming over there, because they know at the end of the day, there's like enough creative freedom, and it's enough guys over there that everybody's familiar with, that everybody really just has a good time. And I think Jericho realized that very early. You know, and that was why he decided to join the squad and also kind of be a little bit of a consultant backstage to the young talent.
It's also kind of like, Hall and Nash going to WCW. It's like, yes. Jericho is such a huge name that he know if he comes over to AEW, he's going to have a lot of say-so. He's going to have a lot of control over what's going on, just because he was one of the first big names associated with AEW. Kenny Omega, which Kenny Omega is a big name, but he was more known in Japan. The average American viewer probably didn't know much about Kenny, they all know Jericho.
Think about all the veterans that you got over there. Some in ring, some just backstage. You got the enforcer Arn Anderson over there. You got Billy DDP. Gunn still in the freaking ring, man. Oh yeah, DDP. I'm sorry, Nightmare Family, Diamond Dallas Page, my favorite wrestler of all time, still busting diamond cutters on niggas. Billy Gunn got both his sons over there. Austin Gunn, who I met in New York last year when we went to WrestleMania weekend, and I met him at the after party. We chopped it up for a minute. He was super cool. Me and Billy Gunn actually shook hands because he was backstage at the G1 Supercard, and I didn't realize how big he was. His hand was like three times the size of mine.
Yeah, I saw Billy Gunn when I went to the ROH show with Ran, where we had the incident with Bubba Ray. Billy Gunn was there, so I met him there. So enough gushing about Chris Jericho. We wanted to give him his flowers while he's still here. Chris Jericho, you are one of the GOATs in wrestling. You've done everything that you've wanted to do, and you continue to do everything that you want to do.
He's the only wrestler with his own crews, bro. We ain't talking about the Jericho crews.
He's the only wrestler with his own booze.
That's true. A little bit of the bubbly.
Yes, so, I mean, hey, and that's like you were saying, that's, one of the benefits of AEW. They are the total opposite of WWE, where Vince doesn't want anyone to do anything to get over on their own. And AEW wants the wrestlers to get over on their own.
Like, listen, they need that. Right. We brought you over here because we know you have the ability to get over on your own. And that's what makes them a really special company. So, man, right. Much love.
And with all of, tying everybody's social media into things and stuff like that to bring more viewers to the brand. So,
correct. Yes. Yeah,
definitely with that. So the reason that I wanted to wrap up talking about Jericho is because you did want to talk about Cody winning the title, right?
Man, Cody, dark hair Cody, nightmare Cody, once again has the TNT championship. Much love to Cody Rhodes. We all know that at the last AEW event, he came back with black hair, looking like the Cody Rhodes that I know from his WWE days. That was a really, really dope match. He's another one of those people. What's crazy is he wasn't nearly as big in WWE. It took for him to leave, go to the independents. People slept on Cody for so long. I've always said he was a solid talent. The stuff that he did in Japan was really dope, and how he was just able to reinvent himself with the nightmare shit was just really, really solid. So, hats off to Cody for getting that belt back.
Oh yeah, and, man, Cody. You know he's one of he bet on himself. He put it all on the line, and bet on himself. And you know he did the same thing that Jericho did. You know he went on a pilgrimage over there in Japan, won the stuff over there, came and did the AEW stuff, and you know made a way. He basically created a whole rival brand to WWE, and is making a way for wrestlers who may have not had a home, wrestlers who have gotten fired from WWE, yes, and other things to continue to make a living, and you know to continue to thrive. So yeah, definitely, and hats off to him.
How cool is it?
Tired of seeing him bleed all over the place, but
yeah. Me too. But how cool is it when you basically a bunch of rogue wrestlers with international success just decide, hey, we're all going to start a wrestling company, and for them to be, you know, pretty much WWE's current primetime competition, where they were the only thing on primetime for many years.
Right.
And I ain't even really going to use the competition word. I'm going to just say it's nice having another option. And that's what we get it in today. It's nice to see another roster.
It's never good for someone to have a monopoly over things, because then when they're not performing at the level that you want to see them perform, and that's all you have to watch, then you just have to be let down and deal with the programming that you're getting. But you know, Now we have options, and it's not like, you know, there isn't Impact and ROH and things like that, but AEW is a steady cable program that's now on, so you know, and the fact that they put them directly in competition, I know you didn't want to say that, but the Wednesday Night Wars is a thing, so they put them in direct competition with WWE. With NXT. Mm-hmm. So it definitely makes them feel like the WCW of what's going on, you know?
Absolutely, and we gotta still show love. First of all, Impact, the last few months I've been really getting back into Impact Wrestling. They've been really putting on some entertaining and great shows. Impact has been really entertaining lately.
Your boy Chris Bay over there.
Bay. Shouts out to Chris Bay. Much love, man. He's a Matt Maniac. He's a friend of the podcast. He's somebody whose career I've had the pleasure of following wrestling here on the Southwest Circuit. So definitely hats off to Chris Bay doing his thing. You're gonna get that belt back, man.
They got Willie Mack over there.
Man, Willie Mack, West Side. Much love to Willie Mack, man.
Right. That's so, you know, we definitely fuck with Impact. We know a lot of Impact players, you know?
That's what I'm saying. A lot of Impact guys are people who we've encountered in the past, friends of ours, that sort of thing. Really, really, really great guys. So, yeah, man, we really, you know, it's been really phenomenal. Like, wrestling during the pandemic, we thought it was just going to be a shit show of crowdless events, but it actually turned out to be a beautiful plethora of crowdless events and different things like that. So it's just been really solid, man. But yeah, what else do we have before we get up out of here?
Thoughts on Retribution?
Yes. So man, Chicago's very own Mustafa Ali became the leader of Retribution this past Monday on Raw. Hats off to Ali, former Chicago police officer turned pro wrestler, doing his thug dizzle. One of my favorite guys in WWE, but it looks like they finally gave him something substantial to stand on. So this is dope. This is incredibly dope, and I'm really excited about to see what's to come with this particular thing, man.
Those masks ain't dope, though.
No, the mask of ass. Just keep it all the way real. Everybody looks like fucking Bane from Batman. That part of it.
And those names ain't popping either. But
we talked about them whack ass names on the live stream. So yeah, we know what it is. So yeah, man. But you know, much love to our parties in it. We know Dominik Dijakovic is there. We know Mia Yim is there. We know that our boy Dio Madden is there. Like, this is, you know what I'm saying? It's all guys, and then Ali. So it's all guys that I trust To really do some dope shit. And it's great that WWE found a way to bring up some of those guys from NXT that was really thriving and doing their thing, like Dijakovic and Dio and Yim and different things like that. And that's got to be great for Yim, because whole time she's on Raw, so is her boyfriend, Mr. Right. Keith Lee. So they get to travel together. So that kind of worked out well in their favor.
So what do you think is going to happen with Retribution going against the Hurt Business? Do you have any thoughts on basically Ali was Ricochet's friend, but now Ali is with Retribution. His other friend, Cedric Alexander, has joined the Hurt Business. It's kind of just Apollo and Ricochet left. Do you think that it's a possibility that Ricochet may join a squad, or that Apollo might join a squad and leave Ricochet as the last man standing
I feel like by the time we realize what's going on, Survivor Series will probably pop up, and then there'll be some new thing, and then that
you think these groups are going to tie into Survivor Series in some kind of way?
Fuck yeah. Why not do a fly ass 10 man Survivor Series style tag team match, the Hurt Business versus Retribution, and these are all motherfuckers who can actually wrestle? Yeah. It's going to be a dope ass match. So yeah, man, I'm really excited to see. I really want that to carry in the Survivor Series, and I really want them to go ahead and war in Survivor Series, man. You got a burial?
Hold on, I got one more question for you. Thoughts on Ember Moon's return?
Thoughts on whose return? I'm sorry.
Ember Moon's.
Oh, man. Good to see her back. About goddamn time. Whole new look to her. Same finish. Still doing her thing. I hope that they really use her the right way this time. She too goddamn talented to just be sitting down. I'm happy she was able to reinvent herself.
And I'm glad that she returned at NXT, because she never won the championship in NXT. She never got her just due at NXT, because during that time she was fighting, it was Asuka, and then it was, what's her name? Queen of Spades. I can't think of her name.
Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, you know, we had Asuka, and then we had Shayna Baszler. So even though Ember Moon was a top contender at that time, she never could grasp the ring. So now that she's back, hopefully she'll get her just due. I also like the fact that, like I said, she returned to NXT, because these NXT people who got brought up to the main roster and didn't really make a splash in the main roster like they should have get warm welcomes when they return back to NXT. That crowd is happy to see them come back. So,
man.
So hopefully she'll do something over there. I also
just like Finn when he came back to NXT. You seen how?
Right. Oh yeah, and I also want to say I'm happy to see that NXT is going to be doing Halloween Havoc. I am upset that it's just going to be a regular episode of NXT and not a takeover. I would have preferred a Halloween Havoc takeover. I feel like doing stuff like that is kind of like WWE's way of still digging at WCW by saying, oh, we're just going to take your pay-per-view name and throw it on a regular show. But they got Halloween Havoc gear out if you want to purchase that. And I just love the Halloween Havoc idea, the theme, the feel. I hope they dress the setup. I was always a fan of WCW pay-per-views that looked like what the pay-per-view was supposed to be. So shit like Dash at the Beach and Halloween Havoc and all that stuff.
Did y'all see the Halloween Havoc merch in the group chat that I put up there?
Yeah, I just said they have merch. You must not have heard me because you was getting out the car. Halloween Havoc has merch. Yep. So
super, super dope. I ain't gonna lie. Like our boy, shout out to Captain Caveman, Steel Cage, as we're part of Steel Cage Network as well. I agree that orange shirt, if we can get an orange hoodie like that with the big Halloween Havoc logo, I'd buy that. I'd buy that immediately, actually. Super dope. Orange is one of my favorite colors, so very dope. But, man,
burials.
Yes.
Burial of the week would be – I don't know. What you got?
Nothing.
Oh,
nothing.
No, I got a burial to week.
What's up?
Fuck Pence.
Oh God, Mike.
Fuck Trump.
Please and fuck Trump.
I'm sorry. These are my opinions, and my opinions are of myself and the Matt Mania podcast. So if you don't like it, then I'm sorry. You know, you can unfriend, unfollow, do whatever it is that you need to do. But yeah, Kamala wiped the floor with him yesterday during a debate. And also, there are reports and other things coming out. I don't know what's exactly true yet, but Pence possibly has COVID himself. So I just don't even know what the fuck is going on right now. Like, Donald Trump debates and then he has COVID. Pence debates and then he might have COVID. These guys are just spreading COVID all over the place. Kamala, get tested. Protect yourself. I hope you don't got COVID. And yeah, fuck that dude. That's why I fly landed on the team. Fucking whack ass. Looking like a member of Johnny Quest ass nigga.
I swear to God, I want to give a shout out to one of my favorite people on the East Coast, who's a I don't know what the technical term for would be, card reader or tarot card. Yeah, tarot card reader. I want to give a shout out to our girl Donna L. Natalie. She's dope. I've had a couple of readings with her in the past. She made a comment on Facebook last night, and she was saying that Kamala should be running for president instead of vice president with the way that she kind of just did Pence in. So, you know, I didn't really see all of this debate, but I did see certain things, and needless to say, she's a force to be reckoned with. I hope that she ends up taking that that presidency eventually, because she's a strong black woman, and maybe it's something that we need. Maybe it's time for that change, man. I've always been an advocate for like having a dope black female president. If Michelle had to take over, it would have been lit.
So I don't appreciate the fact that Trump is acting like that he doesn't have COVID after like 4 days. Like, come on, dude.
Goofball ass.
I work with people with COVID every day, and it takes at least 10 to 14 days for you to even get cleared to return back to work. So you should not be in the office at the White House trying to make any decision whatsoever with your sick ass. you should not have put any Secret Service members at risk trying to ride and wave at fans outside. Like, the fact that he said he may even be immune to it, shut the fuck up.
Did he say that shit for real? I missed that part. He said that stupid shit?
Yes, he also said that his blood type is USA. This nigga is a fucking idiot.
Listen, like I always like to say, and like you said previously, and I'll elaborate on it a little bit further, we are a black and brown wrestling, pop culture, and hip-hop podcast. So you already know what's cracking. You already know who we getting behind. Like Teek said, you don't like it, fuck it. You ain't got to watch it. It's a million and one options that support that asshole. So
you know how we coming. You know how we coming and we with the shits. for some reason, y'all are such, I mean, I'm going to say it like this. White folks just love mass suicides, huh? Keep following following Donald Trump and drinking that Kool-Aid. He telling y'all not to be worried about the coronavirus and COVID and don't fear it. He's the new Jim Jones. All y'all will be out there dead fucking with him.
You know what? You know what's the special ingredient in the Kool-Aid that he drinks?
Bleach. Cheetos. That Cheeto dust
and goddamn bleach. But yeah, man, and then on behalf of our boy Rock Knowledge, shout out to Rock right now, who has that came in, so that's why he couldn't make it on the show. Yeah, man, I got a snack, bro. I definitely got a snack. I am going to put over, and I don't think I've ever mentioned this before, but there's a young lady on the wrestling circuit who wrestles for what is the name of the promotion? I want to say Shimmer. But she has had one match in AEW, a tryout match. Much love to Jamie Hayter.
H-A-Y-T-E-R. Shout out to Jamie Hayter. She's our snack of the week this week. Jamie, ironically enough, is the girlfriend of somebody who I know personally in the wrestling business who wrestles for New Japan, Carl Fredericks. Shout out to my boy Carl Fredericks, the BFD over New Japan Pro Wrestling, doing his thing. That's his girl, man. And she's like, she cold. Like, she's super nice. She got, you know, when I told him this straight up, I'm like, man, you got a beautiful girl. He's like, man, thank you. She right in all the places that she need to be right. So, much love to Jamie Hayter, man.
Yes, sir. She got a IG. You wanna give her IG to the people or something so that they can
yes,
check her out?
Yes. Yes, sir. I believe it's just at Jamie Hayter, H-A-Y-T-E-R, at Jamie Hayter. So,
oh, she a hater.
look her up on Instagram, look her up on Twitter, T. You should take a gander at her. I promise you will not be disappointed. It's some serious cake action going on. Very
oh,
nice.
Yeah, I love the cakes. Go ahead and send her name in a group chat. I'll take a look at her.
Yeah, she got nice athletic cakes. Very dope.
So that's going to be all for tonight. I didn't time this episode, so I don't know where we're at right now. But,
who the fuck knows?
this was a two-man tag team episode. Man. So
you know it's
not going to be as long as normal episodes because we don't have other people's opinions or putovers and things going on right now. But, you know, we're going to wrap this show up because I'm sure G1 wants to participate in what he just got from that dispensary. What'd you pick up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I got some Super Silver Cheese, which is a hybrid strain that's a kissing cousin of my favorite strain, Super Silver Haze.
And blue cheese.
Man, exactly. So the Super Silver Cheese is popping. Definitely finna hit that. No King Palms today. You'll be surprised. I actually learned how to roll. How about that?
What are you gonna roll? A hemp roll?
So we do two different brands. So one brand I want to give a shout out to is Kong Wraps.
I'm giving shout outs to people that ain't paying us. Man,
listen, you never know what may happen, so we speak it into existence until it happens. Shout out to Kong Wraps. Got a box of these, actually. Follow them on every major form of social media at Kong Wraps, like King Kong. What's the other company? Twisted Hemp. I actually tagged them in a post not too long ago, so shout out to Twisted Hemp, man. So I've been rolling the hemp wraps, and I've been doing a good job with those. My only problem, and I'll admit this, my only problem is I got to – make them a little bit tighter. Once I get down to making them a little bit tighter, I'm gonna be a beast. But the expert
his only problem is he probably wet them bitches up too much. Oh, wet mouth ass nigga.
Never mind. Let me shut up. But
anyways, you can follow me at Teak_Hall on Twitter. Teak_Hall on Instagram, T-Call on Facebook if you're lucky enough to have me accept your request, because I don't accept people on Facebook that don't got mutual friends. And if you got one mutual friend, I'm definitely going to inspect you. Like, who the fuck sent you? So,
absolutely.
But G1, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at G1 to the rescue. That's G the number one and the words to the rescue, exactly the way it sounds. You can find me on Twitter at G the number one and the words to the rescue, exactly the way it sounds. Also, I do have a personal page.
No, so don't give that out.
I'm not. So I was about to say, for those of you that do have access to the personal page, if I send you a request, that means it's for a reason. That means you're more than just like, you know, somebody who I may only know through music or who I may only know through wrestling. If you get the personal page, you family. Like that's what it is. So,
and once again, follow us on Instagram, Matt Mania Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Matt Mania Podcast. You can follow me on Spotify at T-Call. You can find Matt Mania Podcast on all DSPs and streaming platforms.
Yeah, you can actually find me on Spotify as well. G1 to the Rescue all together. And because a lot of the guest appearances that I've been a part of have been in there. And also click the link on my bio on my G1 to the Rescue page for the G1 and Friends playlist, which has the up-to-date every commercially available song that I have produced, and still got a lot of work to do coming up for the end of 2020, going into 2021. Me and Teak finna go hard on some shit. Me, Teak, and Ren finna go in on some shit. I got a record coming with hopefully with Kies coming called City Lights. So definitely be on the lookout for that. Definitely got the Have My Back record coming out, and I got an R&B single coming out called Change Your Mind. That's actually done. I just need to get it mastered, and that'll actually be dropping. I'm gonna drop that probably towards the end of this month on my stepfather's birthday, which is October 22nd. Okay. Yes, sir. Rest in peace.
There you go. That's a lot of stuff to follow. Hopefully, yeah. it'll be in the description of this episode.
Yes, it will.
And also remember that I said follow the podcast. Go get you some fucking merch from
ProWrestlingTees.com.
Yep. Yes, all of that shit. Make sure you follow our brothers, Rock Knowledge, Neo X,
Mega Ran, Ali Booker. Course. Yes. Our brothers in arms in the steel cage, Captain Caveman, Super Jew, all those guys. Yeah, man. Much love. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. Again, we are a Black and Brown podcast. We appreciate the support.
We are one of the top five.
Definitely one of the top five
wrestling podcasts for you to listen to. So that was said by the Sci-Fi Network. So take it for what you want.
Flex. Take that to the people out here dating G1 clones. But anyway.
I just want to know how your new man do the same thing that I do, but he ain't as wavy.
As always, in parting on behalf of the rest of our crew and my boy T. Call, G1 to the Rescue, would just like to say, man, hashtag wrestling is fun. And as always, in parting, no matter what you do, please keep your shoulders
off the mat,
motherfucker. We'll see you next week with more content and hopefully a full team. We out this bitch like a newborn baby.
Raw is Jericho.
Bow. Jericho, what up?